Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. All right. Welcome to a very special time in God. My turn around experience. I believe the idea is that God wants you to begin, even now, to begin to journal. Because you and I are going to have an experience, and we're going to say, that was my turnaround. I used to be heading in that direction, but God turned it around. Hallelujah. I am looking forward to every month this year. Not that we're going to have special meetings every month, but God has cataloged every month with a specific word for us. And I hear in my spirit that when we go past this point, that there is going to be a very specific word for every week. Hallelujah. That when you come into this house, come into the presence of the Lord, that there will be a word that God has put in your mouth to declare and prophesy over your life, over your family, over your calling, over your finances, over your business, over everything that concerns you. Hallelujah. And this month, he said, it is my March, my month of victory. Praise God. March, my month of victory. And in this month of victory, he has given us a clear word. And that word is this, that it is our turnaround. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, today and tomorrow is the feast called Purim. Purim is a feast that attests to the story of Esther, Hadassah, Esther. And this particular book is the one book, and I want you to hear this loud and clear, is the one book in all of the Bible where the name of God is not mentioned once. However, the hand of God is very, very obvious. Praise God. It means that we don't have to live in the world of Christianese to see the glory of God manifested in our lives. God's hand is upon our lives. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. The story that we see in the book of Esther is God's intervention on the life of the people called the Jewish nation or people. Something that had happened in their past was about to bring about a painful result in their present. Many years before, God had spoken to a king called Saul. He said to Saul, I want you to go after the Amalekites, for I've declared a war against the Amalekites for every generation. And so the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, Exodus chapter 17, I'm going to read as fast as I can. The verse that I want is the 16th verse. But I'm going to take it up from about verse 10. Exodus 17 and verse 10. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. I trust that you're looking at that passage already. I'm going to help myself somewhat because we have new programs that are not as fast in this regards for my use. But the guys are doing a great job. In Exodus chapter 17, it says, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. The story, starting from verse 1, is that Israel had come to a particular turf. And when they got here, they had no water, and they were in the area of Rephidim. While they were there, God made provision for them, of course. The people were very antagonistic. They were just after Moses, that Moses even thought that they were going to stone him. But God made provision. God granted them water because God said to Moses, he said, I'm going to stand upon a rock. He says, when I stand upon that rock, strike that rock. And when you strike that rock, you're going to have water. So God stood upon the rock and Moses did accordingly. Water came out. The people were satisfied. But the people of Amalek saw the people of Israel at a weak point in their life when they were thirsty and they needed sustenance. And they made the decision to attack them. God hates it when you attack people at their low point. Please hear that. When people are down, don't go there kicking at them. Because God hates that. Amalek did that against Israel. And God said to Moses, and Moses said to Joshua, take the fight. Go after Amalek. And so they did. He says in verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. They came and they fought against Israel in Rephidim. Now, Rephidim means rest. This was a place of rest. And the enemy, Amalek, came and fought against the people of God when they should be resting. For some, the place of rest is in their old age. They've done everything and they've come to the time when they should be resting. But that's when the enemy starts to create problems. You've done all that you know how to do. You've raised your family. You've done the best for them. They have come up to the age where they should be okay. And the devil comes. And while you're trying to rest and enjoy your time that God has positioned for you to rest, grandchildren start acting up. All of a sudden, your grandmother, a grandfather that's busy raising babies. That is not God's plan. But that's where these people found themselves. At the place of their rest, Amalek came and fought against them. The enemy came and began to harass them. And God was not going to take lightly to that. He says in his word that when Amalek did that, God also made a decision. I am going to take the fight to Amalek. Amalek wanted to kill them. The word Amalek means the valley, one who dwells in the valley, in the low ground. Amalek came and wanted to keep the people of God in a state of death. And God says, no, that's not my plan. I stand upon a rock. I stay in the high ground. You're not going to keep my children down. And that word of God is a word to every one of us. And it's declaring to us today that God doesn't want us to stay in the valley. Yes, he might be the lily of the valley, but God is a God who wants you at the mountaintop. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us, God says, I'm going to fight against these people. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill, Moses says in verse 9. I'm going to stand on top of the hill. I'm not going to be in the valley. I'm going to stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Somebody say, we're going to the top of the hill. Hallelujah. Amalek wants you to be in the valley. But God is saying, I have a turnaround for you. You're going to be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. But the thing about this is this. If you're going to have victory, you've got to fight the battle. If Amalek wants you to be in the valley, you've got to get rid of Amalek in the valley. Because you don't want to fight this battle again. Hallelujah. God says in verse 11, it says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When his hands were up, Israel prevailed. When his hands were let down, Israel began to lose and Amalek prevailed. Depending on where his hand was. This is supposed to be the place of rest. And it's interesting to me that when his hands were resting, Amalek was winning. When his hands were up, they were winning. Am I supposed to be resting or am I supposed to be raising my hands? And God's language is this. When you raise your hands, you are resting. Oh, glory to God. When you raise your hand in praise and worship, you are resting. When your hands are down, because you are tired, you are giving energy to the enemy. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall have their strength renewed. They will mount, notice the word, mount. Glory be to God. They will mount on the wings of eagles. Where do eagles fly? In the valley? Or way up high, where no other birds can come. God is saying to us today, I want to take you to a realm where the enemy cannot come. I'm going to do something new in your life where you are going to run the race of victory and take the flight of an overcomer. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amalek prevailed when his hands were down. So, Bible says, they were watchful leaders. Watchful leaders. Let me stop there for a moment. Watchful leaders. Aaron and Hur. While they were standing there with Moses, they noticed what was happening in the valley. They noticed that as Moses' hands were up, they were winning. When Moses' hands got tired and was down, they were losing. So Aaron and Hur grabbed the hands of Moses and kept it up. You see, child of God, for us to be consistent in victory, we've got to learn this principle. Lift the hands of the leader up. When he wants to feel discouraged, raise those hands up. Because the victory in your life is connected to his worship and adoration to God. Yours counts, but yours is battling down there in the valley, trying to get rid of Amalek. The apostle said, we are going to give our attention to praying, worshiping, and studying the word of God. Let the deacons that you choose serve the tables. It is not everything that you allow your leader to do. Praise the Lord. You've got to take what is unnecessary out of the way and keep his hands up. Aaron and Hur knew that. They kept his hands up and kept it steady. Praise the Lord. He says in the Word of God, And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. His hands were steady. Stayed up. And the word of God continues and makes this statement. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. And rehearse it. Keep on stating it over and over again in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the sun. I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the sun. That's what the word of God says. I'm going to do this. Keep on saying it to the hearing of Joshua. Keep on saying it over and over. Let Joshua hear those words over and over. I am going to get rid of those valley dwellers forever. I don't want you to be a valley dweller. Praise God. Above only and not beneath. Keep on saying it to the hearing of Joshua. Yahushua. Keep on saying it. You see, that word, that name, Joshua, is the same name as Jesus. He says, keep on saying it to the hearing of Yeshua. No valley dwelling. I am not going to stay in the battle of the valley. He says, keep on rehearsing it. Tell Yeshua that. Tell Joshua that. The pronouncement from my mouth must be no to anything that wants to keep me in the valley. I say no to poverty. I say no to sickness and disease. I say no to all of that because I keep on saying it to the hearing of my Redeemer, my Savior, the one who fights the battle for me, the one who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I am not a valley dweller. I am the Son of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Not the child of the Most Low God. I'm a Son of the Most High. You sang that song, Jehovah, you are the Most High. Jehovah, you are the Most High God. That is lining up with what we're talking about. God says, I am going after those Amalekites, and I want to get rid of them. He says, and Moses built an altar. He built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jehovah is my banner of victory. Oh, glory. Is this the month of victory? Jehovah is my banner of victory. He built an altar. One of these days, I'm going to share once again with us the message on altars. When you have an altar, there is a sacrifice. An altar without a sacrifice on it is just some kind of structure. He called it Jehovah Nissi, my banner. What is this banner about? It's the banner that says, I will always operate in the realm of victory, not defeat. Hallelujah. We want the enemy to see that sign. Glory be to God. We want the enemy to see the sign, I am victorious. Glory be to God. In fact, I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to have, one of those cards that you put inside your Bibles. Bookmark. I think I'm going to make some bookmarks for every month for whatever God said. And for this March, you want to show that marker. Praise God. Hallelujah. My month of victory. I'm victorious. More than a conqueror. You put it in your Bible, you put it on your fridge, wherever it is you want to put it, but you know that the devil knows that you know that he knows, that you know that he knows that you are the victor and not the victim. Praise God. Glory be to God. Somebody say, March, my month of victory. This is my turnaround month. Hallelujah. For he said, because the Lord had sworn. It's one of those times that we hear God swearing, making an oath. God had sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Praise God. What does that mean? That means that God wins that victory for you in your lifetime and in your children's lifetime and in your grandchildren's lifetime, over and over and over, that there's no generation that is connected to you that is going to be in the realm of defeat, because Jesus Christ has taken out the war against the enemy. Praise God. Just like iniquities want to go from one generation to the other, God is saying victory from one generation to the other. Praise God. Praise God. So the Bible tells us that God made this commitment. And he sent Saul to go after the Amalekites. And Saul was told very specifically in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15. It says that he was told, I know we're supposed to be doing the book of Esther, right? Yes. We lead into it. Come on now. Praise God. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 8. After he'd been instructed to go after the Amalekites and them out, everybody gone. Saul went and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. He was told to kill them all. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. It was obedience, but partial obedience. And the word of God continues in verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the beast and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs, and all that was good. And will not utterly destroy them, because they were good. You see, the problem that faces us as people is not bad, but good most times. So what do you mean? The fruit in the garden, Eden, was pleasant. It was good. Nice to look at. And here they are. They're collecting all the nice looking lambs and oxen and everything. But God told them, kill all of it. But he doesn't. He says, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. They destroyed all the things that were ugly and bad. They destroyed that. But God says, I want you to destroy all of it. So he comes back with Agag. Now, why does he come back with Agag? Because for him, this was his triumph. I got the king. Now, God, verse 10 said, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me. God is saying, it repented me that I've set up Saul to be king. For he's turned back from following me and had not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. He cried unto the Lord all night. Now, back to the book of Esther. Just remember Agag. The Bible starts out in the book of Esther about King Ahasuerus. King Ahasuerus put out a party that lasted for well over a year. Every day it was just a huge party. Every day. And when they finished that year, he extended it with some of his key princes. And during that time, and Vashti, or Vashti, some people will say, was throwing her own party. And so the king invited Vashti to come to his party because he wanted to show her off about how beautiful his queen was. Vashti said, no, not doing that. Not coming. Refused to come. The princes are upset. He said, king, you invited your wife, the queen, to come, and she had the effrontery to say no. Well, you got to deal with this. Because when we get home, we don't want our wives doing the same thing. She is an example. So you got to get rid of this queen. The king says, I guess so. How dare her do this kind of nonsense? I'm going to get rid of her. And they said to him, why don't you get other young ladies and let's have a pageantry. And then you choose the place of Vashti. Now there was a young lady called Hadassah. Hadassah, whose other name is Esther, was an orphan. Father died, mother is dead, and the uncle, Mordecai, takes her in. A young lady with any, just a little chance, if we can say that, to make it. But how is she going to make it in exile? Beaten down. I don't know where you are. What important things may have died in your life. Times when we go through life and it seems like all is lost. But I'm thankful that in the midst of those kind of situations, that God does something extraordinary for us. We may not know what's happening. We may not know why it is happening. But God was working a work behind the scenes, not only for Esther, but for the whole Jewish race. Because there's an enemy that was in a seat of power that had the mind to destroy every Jewish person. But God was busy working. You know, sometimes God is working and we don't know what he's doing or why he's doing it. But what we can rely on is this, that whatever God is doing, he knows why he's doing it. Praise the Lord. He knows exactly what he's doing. And we must totally rely on the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So here she is. Mordecai finds out about this pageantry and brings her in and hands her over to the ones that were going to take care of the pageantry. And what was going to happen was that for a whole year, these women for 6 months will perfume themselves with different stuff. And then for another 6 months, they will do other stuff. And at the end of the year, they were to present themselves to the king. And the king will investigate, check them out. If he likes that one, you know, he keeps her. But if that one doesn't qualify, sends her off to another one, to another guy that will take care of them called Shakizar. And so that was how things were happening. Everybody, each person went. They saw the king. And the next day, they are sent to this guy called Shakizar. And his name means a servant of the beautiful. So he's taking them out. Shakizar is taking them out when the king rejects them and keeping them in particular places. Each one of them were supposed to choose whatever it is that they needed to use, put on themselves. They pick up their wardrobe, whatever hairstyle and whatever it is they needed to do, and they'll come to the king, and the king kept on sending them off until Hadassah. When it came to Hatton, she elected not to put on any makeup, anything at all. She just wanted something simple. And she said to Haggai, the one in charge, please, I'm not going to choose anything. You choose for me. This is wisdom. You know, so many times we come to God and we have ideas on what we think God needs to do. But I think the best way all the time is to ask God to give what he wants to give. Because you see, his hands are bigger than yours. Amen? I'm reminded of a story of a young boy that went to a store with a mother, and this guy came by and this kid was looking at a bunch of candies, and he stands and watching this guy and this little kid and says, take some, I'll pay for it. And the kid won't do it. Sonny, grab what you need. And the kid won't do it. So finally, he grabs it and hands it over, and the kid puts it in his. And the mother asks the kid, "Why were you being so rude?" The man said, "Take. You should have taken it." He said, no, not so, Mama. His hands are bigger than mine. And that's what we need to do. There are times when you just say, thank you very much, Papa. When are you going to take some? Just stretch your garment ready for him to grab for you. Oh God, I need this gift of the Holy Spirit. I need this particular gift. No. God, give me the gift that you know is best for me. Hallelujah. Give me what you know is best for me. Because when God gives it to you, he gives it to you without measure. Praise the Lord. When you're running it by yourself, you are going to get stuck. That's just life. Esther knew that principle and says to Hege, you choose for me. And when she did that, the Bible says Esther obtained favor. Praise the Lord. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Not just Hege, but everybody. Just by that act of being humble to let Hege choose for her. And when she presented herself to the king, that was it. Story ended. She was not going to the place where the other women went to. She was now going to be crowned queen. Hallelujah. I'm cutting off from a lot of the stuff that I need to talk to you about. But let me just back up just for a moment. The Bible says, in verse 8 of chapter 2, just to restate certain things. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, to the palace, to the courtside of Hege, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Hege, keeper of the women. First lesson. She didn't bring herself. Somebody else brought her. You know, somebody else that knows you is going to go ahead of you and position you where you need to be. Receive that as a prophetic declaration. When I went to a college called Nana College, a teacher training college, many years ago, I didn't apply for that school. Somebody else applied for me. When Mama came to that same school, she didn't apply. Somebody else applied for her. And we met. She was trying to go to London. And it fell through. Didn't happen for her. I was going, working feverishly to go to Germany. I would have been speaking German now. It fell through. It didn't happen. I couldn't go to the GDR. That would be Eastern Germany at that time. She couldn't go to London. But we ended together up in Nana College. Because God had an agenda. Praise the Lord. Sometimes things fall apart for you and you think it's the end of the world. No, no. God has a better plan. Praise God. God has a better plan. Let me say it a third time. God has a better plan. Somebody else introduced her, put her in line with what she needed. She didn't know she needed that. She didn't see what somebody else was seeing, but she was there. And then the Bible tells us in verse 9 that when she arrived, it says, and the maiden pleased him, pleased Hagar, before she did anything. I don't know if you're hearing. I said before she did anything. She'd not done one thing for Hagar. She'd not done anything for anybody. But Hagar was pleased. There was something in her that caught his attention. Tonight I declare, by the authority of the word of God, that which God has invested in you as a person of destiny, that it become very obvious to the people that it matters to. The people that will do something for you, that they will see what you don't even see about yourself. He says, and she obtained kindness of him. And he what? Somebody say speedily. Speedily gave her things for purification with such things as belonged to her. And seven maidens, which were meet to be given her. I don't know if you're hearing this. Out of the king's house. Out of the king's house. Out of the king's house. Gave her things, and he speedily gave her things. Now, the her things were not the things that she bought with her money. Her things were the things that he knew. Because he knew the fine print. I am certain that the other ladies didn't get what she got. But she got all of this, and not only did she get it, but her seven maidens got special treatment. And they got all of that out of the king's house, and he preferred her, listen to this, he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. In other words, she ended up at the best of the best. Oh, I don't know if you're getting this yet. Everybody that's flying on a plane will arrive at the same time. Praise the Lord. But there's a big but. There are some people that sit up close to the front, and they close the curtains at those people who are behind. And those who are sitting up in the front get to eat nice food, while the people in the back are eating junk food in aluminum foil. Are you with me? Well, that's a place within a place. You go to a hotel, everybody is in the hotel. But I know this much. Being in the hotel does not mean that you're in the hotel. Because there are some rooms that you can come into and your jaw will hit the floor. And you wonder, am I in the same hotel? Well, that's what happened to her. She gets this preferential treatment and ends up with the best of the best while the others are still having whatever it is. She's got the best and her maids have the best. Praise the Lord. Preferential treatment, favor, and receiving it speedily. In this month, may God give us that preferential treatment. May God grant us that those things that we need to receive be received speedily. Somebody say speedily. Speedily. Say it again, speedily. Speedily. Say preferential treatment. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So all of those things were happening with her. And now she ends up being queen. Favor is piling on favor. Say it with me. Favor is piling on favor. I am surrounded with favor. Ahead of me is favor. Behind me, favor. On my left and on my right, favor. Above me and beneath me, favor. I am in a favor cocoon. The word of God says, God surrounds me as a shield with favor. Praise God. Do you receive that? During this feast, God is busy working on something. I said, God is working on something. And would you know it? The enemy always has an agenda on his mind, but he will fail. Praise God. God is busy working. And one day, Mordecai is at the gate and he hears two guys plotting against the king. They were gatekeepers for the king. They were very close to the king and they're wanting to assassinate him. They might have been relatives or friends of Vashti, who knows. But they had something in their hearts and they're voicing it and they did not know Mordecai heard about it. Now Mordecai is queen, and so Mordecai, or rather Esther is queen, Mordecai goes and tells Esther, the two guys, they're plotting. They want to get rid of your husband, the king. Are you serious? Yes. I heard them. This is their plot. What do we do? They investigated. They found this to be true. And they hung the guys. And Esther writes in the journal for the king what Mordecai had done. Mordecai discovered these guys, reported them, and this is what happened. Now, you will think now that because of this, this inquiry, that Mordecai is going to be promoted. But that's not what happened. His enemy and the enemy of the Jews is the one that gets promoted. For the word of God says in chapter 3 and verse 1, "And these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman." He promoted Haman, the son of Hammedata. Haman means magnificent. That's what his name means. Hammedata means double. He's promoted, and watch this, the what? Agagite. Do you remember that? We spent the time talking about Agag. Well, this is his family. So, you know Haman, who hates the Jews, is going to wipe out the Jews. And God, who sees ahead of you, already is busy unwinding and loosening the bolts of the wheels of Pharaoh. He is doing it with Haman. He is fixing him, and he's getting Haman to get up high for a reason. Because when he gets him up high, he's going to wipe him down completely. Hello? Please hear this. When you see your enemy succeeding when you should succeed, don't worry. God has an agenda. Praise God. Because sometimes you think, I'm the one who deserves the promotion. Why did the promotion go over there? I deserve this, and I deserve that, and I deserve this, and I deserve that. And God is saying, just chill. I know what I'm doing. God knows what he's doing. Hello? He knows exactly what he's doing, and it's going to work all together for your good. Praise God. Please hear what I'm saying to you by the Spirit. Haman, the enemy of the Jews, gets promoted instead of Mordecai. Mordecai should be promoted. Haman gets the promotion. His name is not in the chronicles. But he's the one who gets promoted. He's magnificent because man looks in the natural. And the Bible says, he was placed in such a seat of honor. The king commanded that everybody bow and reverence him. But Mordecai knew, one, you don't deserve it. I'm not going to bow down to you. So his peers kept on warning him, you should. But he wouldn't do it. Finally, they came to Haman, and they said to Haman, there's a guy here who is busy doing his own thing, and are you going to let this go? Are you going to let him just get away with this? You should do something about it. And in verse 5, the word of God says, "And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath." He's upset. He is like a boss to Mordecai. And he's very upset with him. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone. For they had showed him the people of Mordecai, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. And he comes to the king and says, listen, there's some people, they are troublemakers. I'm going to pay for their destruction. You don't have to bring any money. I'm going to pay for their destruction. The king says, that's good. But then turns around and decides he was going to pay for it. Watch this now. Mordecai sets a date that he was going to destroy the Jews. And then sets a date and says, tomorrow I'm going to get rid of Mordecai. And that night, somebody say that night. That night before the plan to destroy Mordecai, the king could not sleep. He's tossing back and forth, and then decides, somebody get me something from the library. And would you know it? God has an agenda. Of all the books in the library, the one book that is brought to the king and read to the king is the book where Esther had written about what Mordecai had done in exposing the plot against the king. And the king says, huh? Have we done anything for this guy? Because the king Ahasuerus was a very generous king. If you throw a party for a whole year, you know. If you extend that same party on and on and on, you know this guy likes giving. He's given so much to Haman. And now he says, did we do anything for this guy? He said, no, we've not done anything. So he says, is there anybody out there in the court to expedite what I want done? He said, we see Haman out there. Haman had come for one purpose, to ask the king to destroy Mordecai the next day. He comes and remember, he's been placed at the highest seat of honor. And he's asked this question. What do you think I should do for somebody that I really want to honor, somebody really special? And Haman thinks, there's nobody else but me. Well, I think what you need to do is put on your special robe, that's the king's robe. Put it on that person. Get him to ride in your limo. And put the very crown that you put on your head, put it on him. Say, usurper. He wants everything that the king has. Does that remind you of the devil? I'm not sure that you're ready for this now. Are you ready? You sure you're ready? Okay. This is the deal. Haman is like the devil. He wants the honor that God has. Are you with me? And God says, devil, all that honor, the robe, the crown, the ride, you, devil, put it on Mordecai. I asked you if you were ready. God will make the devil your enemy, his errand boy. for your good, for my good. Are you listening? When God talks about wealth transfer, the devil is going to hand it over. Praise the Lord. He is going to do what? Hand it over. This is your month of victory. Hallelujah. It's your turnaround moment, because God is going to flip this thing. Praise God. Praise the Lord. He's flipping it for my good, for your good. Praise the Lord. God says, or the king Ahasuerus says, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor. Verse 12, then the king said to him, and make haste. Someone say, make haste. That means speedify. Make haste and take the apparel. I'm not arguing with you. Whatever you suggested, that's what I want you to do. Make haste, take the apparel, take the horse, as thou said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Everything you've said, do exactly that. And guess what? Mordecai said, I want somebody to be in front of him to announce, this is what happens to the one that pleases the king, the king wants to favor. This is what happens to that one. And guess who's doing it? Mordecai. He's busy announcing the greatness. Or rather, Haman is busy announcing the greatness of Mordecai, the one he came and planned to destroy. So shall it be, because it's your turnaround experience. Hallelujah. One day you think your head is off, but the other day the crown is on your head. You say, Pastor, that's just a story. No. That's not just a story. Because God already said, I am going to fight against the Amalekites. From generation to generation. And God was continuing the fight. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So it was. Done. Completed. The devil is defeated. Hallelujah. We're going to stop here tonight. The story continues, because God is going to continue to flip this thing. And Haman is going to lose his head. And everyone that ganged up with him against the Jews, on the day that they were supposed to be mourning, because they were going to be, they had been given authority to kill all the Jews, on that same day, they were going to celebrate, because they were not the ones dying. The enemy was dying. He turned the tables on the enemy. Hear this. It doesn't matter where you are, what has happened. God is taking the fight to the enemy, and victory is yours. Victory is mine. In my personal life, in your personal life, in your spiritual life, in my spiritual life, in the realm of your finances, your business, your place of employment, whatever it is, God has assigned that victory is yours. Amen? Now, I want you to do something, those of you that are here, those of you that are listening at home, are online. I want you to position yourself, maybe here at the altar, maybe where you are, if you have space where you are, just come and turn over your pain. Turn over that situation that you think you are losing at. Turn it over to the Lord. And in exchange, take your victory. Praise the Lord. I want you to take your victory tonight. If you want to come up, you can. If you want to stay where you are, you could do that too. But make sure you take your victory. Let there be an exchange tonight. Let God be your Jehovah Nissi tonight. Let him stand upon that rock and let water come for you in a place where you're supposed to be thirsty. Just release your circumstance, your challenge, the betrayal that you've experienced. Just release it to the Lord this very moment and let God's victorious anointing rest on you. Because tonight is your night for divine victory in Jesus' name. Lift up your voice before the Lord. Those of you online, lift up your voice before the Lord. Just let God minister to you right now. Let him touch you where it matters. The enemy has an agenda, but God has a greater agenda. The enemy may have a plan, but God's plan is greater than that. The enemy may have a strategy, but God has a greater and better strategy. He knows what needs to be done. He knows your past. He knows whatever it is that the enemy is trying to use to come against you to bring about pain in your life. And today, he reverses it. He turns it around. He's turning the guns on the enemy of your soul. For this is your day. This is your day for supernatural victory in the name of Jesus in every area of your life. I want you to understand today that the powers of darkness cannot get rid of your children, cannot get rid of God's plans for your family. He cannot do it because God, Jehovah Nissi, Yeshua, is going after that enemy and is declaring that you are not going to be beneath, but you're going to be above only. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we resign ourselves to God's divine purpose, God's divine will, and we declare this day by the authority of his word that his kingdom has come, his will is done here in the earth as it is in heaven. God's purposes shall be made manifest. Satan, you are rebuked in the mighty name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord God Almighty rebukes you in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we declare, O God, this day that victory is ours. Victory is ours. Victory is ours. You are the God of the turnaround. And Lord, O God, every son, every daughter, everyone hearing my voice this very moment will have their turnaround experience. They've come to the lowest point in their life, and now, O God, they are rising by the authority of your word. Father, in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, resting, O God, in your grace, resting in your peace, resting in your authority, moving, O God, by the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. God, tear down every stronghold. Let every enemy collapse, O God, before your people. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, O God, that you are robing your people. O God, and Satan has no choice. Lord, O God, his cohorts have no choice but to speak righteously over our lives. Say the right things, O God. For, Lord, O God, his plans have failed and your glory is made manifest. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. Of our lives will do what you, O Most High God, our King of Kings, Lord of all lords, He is going to do what you command Him to do. For with His own mouth, He has declared our greatness. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that Lord, oh God, that which the enemy tried to steal is now restored unto us. And Lord God, even so, 1,000 times more. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you for the release of favor. And Lord, oh God, that happening, oh God, for us, your people, speedily, 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 speedily. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. For it is done. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. At this time, we're going to honor God with our special offerings. Want you to release it unto the Lord, knowing this, that God has an agenda. God is not an old senile man that has no clue on what is happening. He knows every detail, and He is working on your behalf. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just a moment, Mama is going to join me so we can share in communion together. But if you're here today and you've not been walking with God as you should, and the enemy has had his hand on your life and has been telling you that you're not going to break free, you're not going to have victory, and you're not going to have your turnaround experience, and you want to see to it that that which God has for you is manifested in your life, you want to surrender your life to the Lord and say, God, I give you my life, I receive my victory, and I receive my turnaround experience. I am not going to be held in captivity by the devil and his cohorts and his agenda. Today I refuse and refute the lies of the enemy, and I say yes to your will for my life. God, I want my turnaround. Today, if that's you, you want that turnaround, I want you to come meet me up here in front. If there's anyone like that, just step up and come and say, God, I want my turnaround today. I want my victory today. I am not going to be subject to the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. I want your will done in my life. If you're online and you want that same, just stretch your hand towards that screen and let God meet with you. You're not meeting with a man. You're God, and you're saying yes to His will, and you're saying yes to His purpose. It is not what man wants for you. It is what God wants for you. And you are saying tonight, God, give me my victory. I receive my victory. I will not be held captive by the lies of the enemy no more. I am not going to be subject to satanic agendas. God, you know my past, you know my present, and you know my future. Whatever needs to be fixed, God, fix it. God, fix it. God, fix it. God, fix it. He's that same God. He has not changed. He will do it for you right this very moment. Right where you are, begin to say to God, I come before you, Father, to receive victory over that which has held me captive. I break free from living in the valley, and I come to a place of having a mountaintop experience. God, lift me by your grace. Hallelujah. Just talk to the Lord. He will meet you right where you are. The enemy may have come into your life and subjected your life to drugs, to alcohol, to some form of immorality. But today, you can say no to all of those things and say yes to the will of God. Say yes to Him right now and receive your victory. Say, I receive my victory. If you're up here, just say it now. I receive my victory. Say it again. I receive my victory. This is my turnaround. Right now. Right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, O God, for everyone that is standing before you right now. Those, O God, stretching their hands towards the screen, touching that screen. Lord, I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you, the God of the turnaround, will bring them, O God, to their breakthroughs right this very moment. That every lie of the enemy be broken off of them. That chains of limitation be broken off. Lord, oh God, that doors, oh God, fresh doors of opportunity will be open for victory in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for supernatural victory right now, 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 right now. In Jesus' name, receive it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Go and pray one more prayer. You may be seated. You may go back to your seats. This prayer is a prayer that which God has assigned to your life, that somebody else may be enjoying right now, that God reverses that situation as He did with Mordecai. Haman was enjoying his promotion, enjoying his expansion, enjoying the increase that God would want Mordecai to have. But it was in another man's life until the right moment, when God reversed it. I want everyone right now, you don't know, you may not know what is meant for you that somebody else may be enjoying. But today you're going to lay claim to what is righteously and rightly yours. Amen? So if you may rise with me and take a hold of that which God has for you. Praise God. Praise God. Lay hold on it. Don't wait for me to pray. You talk to the Lord about it. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I take a hold of that which belongs to me. I call it to myself now. I call, O God, to this church what belongs to this church. For Lord, O God, you say in your word that you added daily to the church such as should be saved. Lord, O God, the souls that need to be here, the men and the women, the boys and the girls that are meant to be here, that may be somewhere else right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take a hold of those lives and we bring them home. We take hold of those finances and we bring them home. The blessings that may be enjoyed by others, Lord, O God, that have been assigned by you, Father, unto us. Father, we take a hold of it and we reconnect now to that which you have ordained. Lord, O God, contracts that may have gone astray, we call them back to order. Father, in Jesus' name, we call all things back to order. To order now. To order now. We call all things to come to proper order. In the mighty name of Jesus. We say yes to your word. We say yes to your will. Let it now be unto us according to thy word, your promises, your decrees, to the glory of your holy name. We decree this, so done. We receive the full impact of the benefits that you have for us in this feast of Purim. We say, let there be, there is now, it turn around. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Awesome. Mama, please come. Does anyone need the elements of communion? If you don't have it, just raise your hand. The usher will serve you. Father, we obey the instructions of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, as often as we take of this body and drink of this cup, we should do so in remembrance of him. As we obey this instruction, let the full impact of this act of obedience be manifested in our spirits, in our souls, and in our bodies. We eat in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take of this cup tonight. May every enemy of your soul and my soul and your family's soul be vanquished.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May all those who have plotted against you fall into their own pits.
In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May the design of failure and destruction they have designed, may it be their portion.
In Jesus' name.
May your portion be the design of what God has given.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you, Almighty God, that this month is a marching forward month.
Amen.
And as we march forward, we enjoy your grace.
Yes, Lord.
Grace to every mountain.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They shall be brought low to a plain.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every insurmountable issues will become possibilities of miracles.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you that this month we will see your hand.
Yes, Father.
Upon our lives.
Oh God.
Upon our families.
Yes,
upon
Father.
Our churches.
Yes,
upon
Father.
Our businesses.
Yes, Father.
Upon the things we've been talking to you over and over in the closet. They shall be made manifest.
Jesus,
in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Be manifest in my
Amen.
Life.
Amen. Amen.
Personalize it for yourself. Be okay.
manifest.
Victory be manifest. Manifest. Only you know what you are talking to God Victory. About. Be Victory. Manifest Victory. In my life.
Jesus,
and in this church.
Victory.
And in our homes.
Victory.
And in our Victory. Families.
Victory.
We take this cup of blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you that favor has come upon us.
Amen.
Everything is working speedily.
Hallelujah.
Speedify.
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 Everything is working speedily.
Amen.
No more long wait.
No more.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The God of now be present.
Amen.
In our lives.
Hallelujah.
May we have a now testimony.
Amen.
May we have a now testimony.
Hallelujah.
A now answer to prayer.
Yes, Father.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A now favor.
Hallelujah.
A now favor.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we give you praise.
Yes, Lord.
We take this cup of blessing and it's working quickly in our lives. Take
Amen.
And drink.
God is good. May you go in the strength and the wisdom of God. May his favor rest upon you.
Amen.
In your going out and in your coming in. May you never step out of favor. May you never step out of the blessing. But let the blessing abound. In Jesus' name we decree it so. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow for another wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.